morning. We just need to make contact with you, Lord, because words and lessons, they won't do it. We need the reality of your presence to touch us today. That's what we're here for. That's what we hunger for. So we just ask you to come, make yourself manifestly known this morning. Prepare us to receive. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 9. By the way, I was not planning to come at all. God gave me, I didn't feel like I was getting anything, and then he told me to go back to 2006 and look at some things that I had written down, and that's what I'm going to share. But I wasn't going to do it. I was going to send it and make Harvey read it. So besides my thing I've been putting up with, I had a pain in my side this morning, and I said, well, that's going to be my indicator. Pain in the side, I'm not going. Harvey can go and read it. So I had that pain until 5 after 10. I'm sitting in pajamas, no makeup, just sure I'm not going. 5 after 10, I got up and walked to the room and went, wow, the pain's gone. You know, I guess I'll go in and read it, and then I'll go back home and get sick again. But why I'm sick, I don't know, because, you know, some of these things we're going to read, they knew if I could just touch Jesus, I would be healed. Right. And I'm like, okay, I touched Jesus this morning, and I'm still sick. So I don't understand it, but I trust him. Matthew 9. First look at verse 18. Matthew 9. No, look at 12 and 13 first. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, well, I guess we have to go to 11 to understand it. When the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners, they said to his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? But Jesus heard that. He said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So a lot of times we think we don't get what we need from God because we're not worthy. You know, we think he's mad at us because of our sin, but he's not. I mean, he came to minister to sinners. Those who think they're righteous can't receive from him. Verse 18. While he spoke these things unto them, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay hands upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and he saw the minstrels, the people making a noise, that kind of stood out to me too. They were making a noise. A lot of times when we want to see healing, we seem to think if we shout real loud at the demons, you know, disease, get out of that body, you know, we make a whole lot of noise, that's going to make it happen. You know, as if the demons are all deaf and you have to yell in order for them to hear you. And he said to the people, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn, because they knew she was dead. There's something in that I'm going to come back to. But when the people were put forth, he went in and he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Look at 27 through 30. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows it. Of course, when they left, they spread the fame everywhere. But there's some points here, and I'm really not talking about physical healing. I'm talking more about raising the dead. I'm talking about a spiritually dead. When Jesus said the young woman isn't dead, she's sleeping. I'm going back. What I do at the end of the year, and I'm missing my January journal. I'm so organized, Patty. I can't find January's journal. And I always think I'm going to put every journal in a spot. I found them all over the place. But I can't find January, and I have to have January. Because every January, I take all the journals from last year, and I go through them in order, and I actually write, I start making tallies, and I will see things that God told me over and over and over, and that how he's fed into certain things, and I can kind of get an idea of what is more prominently on the schedule for next year. What's unfinished business? What painting didn't I paint? What message did I not bring? What do I need to carry over and see where it fits this year? But when you do this, the whole, these puzzles just come together, you know, for the whole year. So I was looking for all my journals, and I came across these writings that were from 2006. And I'm telling you, I was so sick this morning. I couldn't feel like I could get in his presence. I couldn't know where to read. This Matthew is where I was reading, but I wasn't feeling, you know, I was more like, okay, here I am sick, reading about healing. You know, I don't think this is for today. I don't know. But when I went back in my journals and I was looking for them and I came across this stack of papers and I started reading it and I said, God, some of this I've read to the church where you told me to share certain parts. Some of it I haven't read because it was personal. And I felt like he wanted me to read some of the personal things to you today too, because he wants you to be touched. He wants you to be touched. There was one time, and I think it was 06 or 07, that I kept smelling a real foul smell in the church and saying, God, what is this? And he said, it's the smell of death. But it's not physical death. It's spiritual death. And when you smell it on somebody, it means they're spiritually dead. And you need to touch them. And you need to minister life back into them. And I think when Jesus said this maid is just sleeping, he knew there was still life somewhere in her. She could be revived. Even though she appeared dead, there was something in her that could still be brought back. And sometimes we're spiritually feeling dead. I just can't find Jesus. I can't feel Jesus. I can't care about the lost like I did. I'm just feeling dead. But he says there's still some life in there, and you can still come back. So that's more of what I'm seeing here. They, each person, had to have a touch. They had to get in his presence. They had to have a touch in order to get their sight, to get their eyes open so they could see, to get their healing so they could function. When you're sick, it's really hard to function spiritually. It takes you down in every way. So he healed the sick people when he touched them. He raised those who were dead, but there was a flicker of life. And he opened the eyes of the blind so they could see. And we need so much from him in our inner healing. But there's a purpose in it. I'm not even sure because I read so many papers. I don't remember which ones it was he had me pull out. But in case this isn't the one, I don't think it is. In case this isn't the one, I had to tell you that I read one this morning. And I'm sitting there just feeling so out of life. But I read one where I had been taken through a whole long vision, and I ended up, as I was riding this horse, we passed some trees, and these fiery leaves blew off the tree and landed in my saddlebag. And at the end of the vision, when I got off the horse and I laid down in the sand, and I got that saddlebag, and I poured everything out of that bag, and he said, it's the ministers of fire. And he said, this is the purpose of your life. This is the result of your life. This is the gift that you can bring to me, how you let me live through you to train the ministers of fire. And there's all these laying on the ground in front of me like an offering to Jesus, even though he did all the work. And I said, who are they? And, you know, it's really funny because those of you that are here, and a lot of people are not here, but all of your names came to my mind. And this was back, it was either 05 or 06 when I had that vision. And Patty in particular was not doing so good with God. And I remember that day praying for her and saying, God, what about Patty? And he said, Patty needs some healing. But once Patty gets that healing, she is going to grow so fast. And today I see that. Yes. And he said, I am preparing a pastor to place at Burning Bush. And today I see that. And those names, I mean, I have begged God for Claudia to come in and accept the things of the Spirit. Now she's just hungering for them. I have begged God to bring the healing to Wayne. And today he's getting his healing. He's going to get a whole lot more. But, and you were there too. And yours is like 2 pages long, so we'll get there later. This is the day that he said he had to break your wishbone. All your desires had to die because God pulled the wishbone and he got the big half, so his desires get to live. But it would be pretty painful for you. So it's just awesome because all of you were in that bag, you know. It was cool. But I remember when I first poured, because I have a bad memory. I don't even remember what they stood for. I'm reading that vision and I'm going, yeah, those leaves, they all flew in my bag, you know. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I poured them on the ground and they were flames of fire. I started crying this morning when I saw them. I started crying and I didn't know what they meant. I have such a bad memory. And then when I remembered what they meant, and I kept reading, and it was after God had told me what they meant, that he started crying when he gave me that vision. And he said, I'm giving you my heart for these people. And he was weeping over you all back then. You know, so I just want you to know how much he loves you, because that was awesome. So I'm going to share some of my prayers and some of the things that resulted from hungering for God. Because what I want you to do today, I want you to learn anything. I don't have any great revelations and truths. What I have is hunger for Jesus. And I want you to hunger for a real touch, because that's what we need, a real touch. May 27th of 2006 at 9:15 a.m. I was caught up in the spirit when these words, thoughts, and feelings came to me. And I felt I was about to be fed some truth. I bit it off powerfully as I was starving for it. I chewed it thoroughly. And I thought to breathe it into my mind. But the Lord stopped me and he told me, swallow it first. I'm so hungry for truth that my mouth longs to taste it, to let it sit in my mouth while I savor the flavor of it. I want to feel the flow of its nourishment as it flows down my throat. I want to feel it settle deep in my belly and fill that longing. I desire for it to rest gently in my spirit and feed me, change me, teach me, and heal me. I want the truth to fight these lies and deceptions that take their place in me. I want the truth to open up and release its secrets to my spirit. I don't want you to just listen. I want you to pray these things for yourself today, because that's the truth that will set you free. I see it taking ground and setting up stations in me like towers, towers full of windows that have bright lights streaming out, shining out to others with power to turn on lights in them. These lights are so strong, so bright, they overcome every darkness. They flood into the caves. They seek out the lies that hide deep within me. The lies cannot stand the lights of truth. They scream as if they're in pain and torment. It's truly the presence of God invading the dark realms of Satan, taking away his strongholds in us. It's a powerful battle. There is screaming and running, but my heart is calm. I'm at rest because the battle is the Lord's, not mine. I'm smiling and I'm watching calmly as he evicts the enemy. I just rest and I feel the powerful lights filling me more and more and more and more. More light, more peace, more truth. It's like I'm on a ride, like traveling through my own self and watching the events. The ride stops and we see a dark spot. The Lord says, well, let's see what this is. Oh, not good. It's a really deep, dark deception in you. Shall we get rid of it? I just smile and he knows my answer is yes. He takes out a shovel and a pick. I wonder if that's going to hurt. I imagine that pick stabbing into me. Then he smiles and puts them down. He was just kidding. He laughs a little laugh, and I love his sense of humor, and he knows that I do. I know I can trust him, and I can hardly wait to see what he will do. I'm thinking that he will gently pick out the darkness, but he doesn't. He opens up the area wide to look inside, and it's huge. I don't like knowing I have a huge dark area in me. It's full of lies and deceit. Wow, I really want that gone. I want it gone for good. And I think it will be about my insecurity and my low self-image, about what I think about my own failures. Is this true? Or is this just what I want it to be? We lean over, and we seem to be like we're on a roller coaster seat, leaning over the edge to look down into the dark hole. I see ledges and caves and water at the bottom, dark, scary water. It's like a dark, murky green, and it's so deep, I'm afraid of falling into it. I'm afraid of the deep and dark, and especially that shade of green. I know that green means authority sometimes, but this seems to be like an evil authority. It's powerful and scary. The Lord assures me that nothing can hurt me now. He takes out a bottle of something small, like a bottle of perfume. He pours it into the deep waters, far beneath, hundreds of feet below, and the liquid moves in a slow motion, so I can examine it as it falls. I see a close-up of it. It's clear, but iridescent. It contains colors and lights. It seems to pick up in size and power as it travels down the dark pool. The reason this is important is because when we're in his presence, we usually don't have understanding. Weird things are happening, and we just have to enjoy it, just allow it, and stop trying to analyze everything. It touches the surface of the water and begins to spread out over it. It rests and floats and spreads and changes the color of the water to a light green mixed with these iridescent colors, like an oil settling on the surface. Oils of beautiful colors. They gleam, they glisten, they dance in the lights. But they transform the surface into something fantastic. Then they slowly sink deeper, gradually changing the water at a deeper level, sinking and sinking and sinking lower, deeper, transforming, changing, coloring with glory and beauty, deeper and deeper and deeper, down, down, lower, sinking slowly, slowly, slowly. This is why we soak. This is why we soak. You have to rest in his presence and just let him do what you don't understand. I begin to feel the warmth in my belly, the peace, the power, gentle power. My belly begins to weep and melt. Things inside are dissolving and melting away, penetrating, penetrating, penetrating with something of God, something new, something transforming. It's consuming my belly and my bowels and my sides, and especially my right side. And then my waist on the right side and above the waist. It begins swirling around and around and around my waist. I can't bend. It's swirling around, and it's forming like a rope or a cord around and around and around. And it strengthens my body not to bend. It's made my spirit strong. I'm prepared for something, but I don't know what. I rest in that for a while, and I begin to feel a new hunger. I'm starving for more, and I just can't let go. I have to have more. I have to have it now. I'm consumed with a hunger for more of God. I'm begging him, please don't stop. Do more, do more. Don't make me wait. No breaks, no rest, just more, more, more. Please keep filling me. I can't even think back to the dark waters, what they were. I don't even care. I just want to go forward. I have a desire for it to reach my heart, my mind, my eyes, my mouth, so I can share it and give it. Suddenly it's in my eyes, and I can see with it. But what about my heart? I didn't pass my heart. It did affect my heart as it went through. Will I see it now that it's in my eyes? Will I get it? See, I always analyze and ask questions. I'm feeling so overwhelmed with joyful weeping, and my heart is so full. I don't want to leave this place, but I was watching Jackson, and he was crying, so I had to go. As I left, I remembered something Pastor Dave Alderman said. He said God had a fountain canvas in my spirit, and he would be releasing some new colors to paint. I said, God, did you just do that? And I heard him say, yes, I will paint this revelation. And the next painting that I painted was Going Deeper, which is supposed to be by that, but it's in the office. It's the one you have to feel and just let God take you deeper while you feel it. We'll put that back up today. I want to share a prayer. It's a long prayer. But this is all. I'm not going to teach anything else or bring anything else. And I'm not going to stay while you soak today. I'm going to go home and go back to resting. But after this, maybe we put on some music for your soaking. This was actually a year later. It was May of 2007. God, you are my life. I am dead without you. You are my hope. I am dead without you. I'm like a skeleton with no flesh, with no muscle, no skin. I have eyes, but they're so dim, so incapable of seeing beyond my own valley. I lay in dust and wait for you to breathe upon my frail bones. I know you're my hope. You're my life. I look up with a set gaze, knowing that when you look back at me, the hope will rise deep in my dry bones. Tomorrow will begin to fill. A touch of life and hope will grow. I know and await and I want for you to just look at me. I hunger. I wait. I want. I cry. Come, my God. Come, my God. Come and wake me up to live. I'm holding on to nothing here. See the bones of my outstretched hands? They're empty. They've let go of everything. They're reaching only for you. They're waiting only for you. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ, His righteousness. He's my Savior and my God. He's my King, my love, my life. You are high above my grave. You are high above my hopes. You reign in power. Your heart is so tender and soft and kind. Your eyes are filled with tears of love. You see the sinful child astray, and you weep in secret for his soul. You seek him out, and you plan his way. You wait in hope every day for him to turn to you. You're faithful. You're a patient father. You never give up on your wayward child. Your heart is pure, and your love is kind, and you seek him out with tender mercy. I don't even know how to pray for those I love. I look to know your ways. I want a heart like yours. I am selfish and lazy. I don't persevere very long or very hard. I say I care, but I tire quickly. I am death and you are life. I wait for your life to enter me. Transform me until I see what you see, until I can hear what you hear, until I can feel what you feel and pray what you pray. Only you know how to bring in the sinner. There are so many I claim I love, but with a shallow heart. I offer my heart to you to love through me. I give you my lips that you can pray through me. I give you my time. I want so much to spend it only with you. I'm going to just pause there for a minute because I was praying for my kids. I had a vision and I saw some of them in it and others weren't in it. And I wondered why. And I wondered if it was because they weren't saved and they wouldn't be there when that thing happened. And that just really upset me. And I began to think about, what if any of my children or grandchildren go to hell? I could not bear that thought. And I've known before people say, well, God will erase the memory of them so that you don't be tormented with that thought. That doesn't settle me at all. That does not help. I don't want them there. It's not whether or not I can forget them. I don't want to forget them. I cannot stand the thought of someone I love burning in hell for all eternity, separated from the love of God. I can't take that. I can't live with that. And God said, I love every person I created more than you love those kids. I can't stand the thought of them in burning in hell forever either, and I'll never forget them. I said, but you're God. You can take what I can't take. I literally can't take that. You've got to save my kids. And he said, then you have to let me put my heart in you. Until understanding that you can't bear the thought of your kids suffering in hell. You can't bear that. You can't help them. You can't touch them. It's too late. You can't bear that. You need to let that heart of God be in you toward everyone that he wants to pray for and touch and reach through you. Because that's how he feels. But God, I want to come in your presence in a way like never before. I've heard of those who have come before your throne and how they were changed forever. I need that. I want that. I hate my sinfulness. I hate my repeated offenses. I hate my shallow repentance. I know that we're transformed as we behold you. I want to give you everything you want, but I don't even know what you want. I just give you permission to invade my life. Invade me, own me, change me, bring me before you, and fill me with yourself, your spirit. I need you, and I want you, and I love you, but I want to love you more. I want you to pour out a truer and a deeper repentance in me. I want you to catch every lie that's hiding in me. Bring a fire, because I need to change. And in your holy mercy, draw me in. Break my heart with my own sin. Open my eyes to see what I lack, and to see your pure holiness. Let your Holy Spirit fall on me today and move deep in my soul, deep in my spirit, with truth that will search me and reveal me and bear me before you. Please come, God, righteous and holy God. Bring us all naked before you in unveiled truth. Let the revelation of our need be set before our eyes and before our heart. Break us open today, right here, right now. We beg you not to send us home the same way we came. We don't want to stay this way. Search deeper, God. Take us deeper than we've ever gone. Open every door within us. Go into our darkest corner and turn on your holy light. Let there be light. In the name of Jesus, we speak it. Turn on the light in our hiding, in our secrets, in our blindness, in our darkness, in our selfishness, in our pride. Search us, God. Shine so brightly we cannot escape. We invite you. We invite you. No matter how uncomfortable, don't stop. Don't draw back. Don't leave us as we are. We are desperate to be changed. We are desperate for more of you. Open our vision. Open our eyes. Reveal us. Reveal yourself to us. Grant us repentance. Grant us mercy and sweet healing mercy. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. Bring our minds into captivity. We're waiting before you. We don't deserve you, but we want you. And we love you. Give us new hearts that can love others. Touch us. Touch us today, Lord. Touch us. And God is speaking to you, saying, I am here. I am calling. Who will come? Who will follow on to know me? I'm calling you. Do you hear me? I'm calling you through my tears. I have wept over you. I have waited for you. My arms have been reached out, held open to you. Will you come to me? Will you come and let me love you freely? I am your God. I am your hope. I am your life. Why would you run from me? Why would you hide from me? Do you not feel the beating of my heart? Do you not know the weeping of my heart for you? How long shall I wait? How long will you make me wait? Come to me today. Come now. Come because I want you. Run into my arms of love. They're waiting to embrace you, to hold you, to dry your tears. I will kiss away your pain. I will whisper in your ear the words of my love, and I will breathe life into you. But you must come now while the door is open. That's what he gave me for you today. And I hope you will make that your prayer and desperation of your heart to seek him that way. Because you need a touch.